Feels very strange if you've never had a microphone around your neck before. Okay, welcome everyone to the workshop on OpenStreetMap Carta. We're not online? Shall we wait? Okay, well, welcome to the workshop. Now we will wait for a minute. It's good. Good to go. Okay, great. Well, welcome to the workshop. I normally during hack days I like to run workshops, but it's for about four or five people. So I think this workshop has more people in it than all the other workshops I've ever done for OpenStreetMap. I don't think this should be a standard presentation because that was what we were doing a couple of days ago. But I am going to run through some slides. They're very focused on trying to get you guys in the position where you can use OpenStreetMap Carta for your own projects and learn how to contribute changes back to the main style sheet. So it's done with that in mind. The aim is to get you up and running and doing practical things today. I'm not going to use an hour to talk, so I will go through the slides and then afterwards I'm more than happy to answer questions or to try the infamous live demos from my laptop here. I've talked previously at State of the Map in Manchester last year and State of the Map US the year before about the process of converting the old style sheets into OpenStreetMap Carta. Those videos are online. If you want to know more of the history of the project, then I recommend watching those videos. This is the URL for the style that was the URL. This is the URL for the style sheet repository. This contains all the icons, all the definitions, and all the files required in order to take OpenStreetMap data from the database and render it in the way that you see on OpenStreetMap.org. This is the project itself, so as well as having the code, it's like any other GitHub repo. We have an issues list and we have pull requests. If you look carefully on the right-hand side, we have 266 open issues. So far in the length of the project, we've closed something like 380 issues. It is a big, complicated project, and when you do make issues and suggestions for change, don't expect that everything will happen immediately. It takes a while for us to work through everything. The installation, this is aimed at getting it working on your laptop, not in a production system. So this is so that you can use the style sheets yourself. The main component that we use locally is TileMill. Some of you might have heard me describing it before, but it's an application you can use locally on your own laptop to design the style, to design the map style. You can make changes to the code, press save, and then watch as the map is redrawn with your changes. It's a great way of doing it, this interactive way. I used to do it by making some changes to the code and then stopping and running a small program and looking at one image and then changing coordinates to make an image for somewhere else. So I can totally recommend using TileMill instead. And it was very deliberately chosen so that the main OpenStreetMap style sheets would work with TileMill and therefore be easy to work with. TileMill is a piece of software written by Mapbox. But this doesn't involve any Mapbox services. It's just using some software on your own laptop. That's the URL to grab TileMill from. It's available for macOS, for Ubuntu Linux, although if you like any other flavor of Linux or Debian or whatever, the source installation will work on there. And packages are available for Windows as well. And TileMill, I should say, is a general purpose map styling software, so it's not just for OpenStreetMap data. Lots of people use it for other data sets. You know, when you can grab shapefiles from governments or wherever else you get them. So in addition to TileMill, we need some OpenStreetMap specific software. These are the database we use is PostGIS. It's open source, it's available in all the platforms, that's fine. And OSM to PGSQL is a utility which takes raw OpenStreetMap data, loads it into the PostGIS database in the format that we need for creating maps. There's instructions on how to do this on the Switch to OSM website. There's one. There are many guides on the Switch to OSM website. One of them is loading OSM data, which runs through all the details of how to install the databases and how to get OSM to PGSQL working, what command lines you need in order to populate the database. And so I'd recommend that. That's the URL for the guide for loading OpenStreetMap data. So when we have the software installed and the data loaded up, the main OpenStreetMap data loaded up, there's only one more piece of scripting to do. These notes are from the OpenStreetMap Carto README, which is we use some additional shape files for creating coastlines, for doing built-up areas and things. We've made a little script there that can download them, or there's also a list of files to download individually if you need them. And then, hopefully, when you have all these things installed and configured, you'll be in this position where you can pan the map around, look at the place that you've loaded up. The chances are you will only load an extract, like for a city or for a small region, onto your laptop. I have the whole of the United Kingdom loaded, but I wouldn't try having all of Europe installed at the one time. And at that point, we can start editing the style sheets. It's quite a big, complicated project, but I don't want that to put you off. We've tried hard to make sure that everything kind of works individually and it's just easy to edit. There are a number of style sheet files. This is the list of the files within the project. The names of the files give you a reasonably good indication as to what part of the style sheet each of these control. There's also the master project file, which has a different file extension. It's MML instead of MSS, and it's called project.mml. This is the file that contains all the information about how to select the data from the database for the particular area, particular layer that you're working on. So the example on the screen is there's a layer to do with dams for reservoirs. And it's about the simplest layer that I could find for here. So if you look carefully and if you're into reading the code, you can see there's an SQL query in the middle which shows what data we're looking for. We then have lots of information about how big that layer is. All of our layers cover the world, but this is just because in TileMill, layers can cover different parts of the world, which projection it's in and so on. Thankfully, we don't need to edit this file by hand. There is a very good user interface within TileMill for controlling the layers. It's this button in the bottom left-hand corner of your installation, and you can see all the layers that make up the OpenStreetMap Carto style sheets. There's about 30 or 40 different layers. You can turn them on and off individually. You can edit them, you can delete them, you can just drag and drop to rearrange them if you want to see what it would look like when they're different. It's a really good user interface. This is the dialogue for editing any particular interface, and it's much easier to change the values here, change the SQL queries here, than it is to try hand editing that MML file. So for the layers, we definitely recommend using the TileMill user interface. On the second bit of it, which is all the MMS files, this is the right-hand side of the TileMill interface. This is where we choose the colours, choose the line widths, and do all that kind of thing. Unfortunately, TileMill has a limitation where it will only show a certain number of tabs along here. There's one tab for each of our files. And if you have too many tabs, then they just don't show up. They're actually scattered around behind this window. And that's a big downside, and it's been a bug in TileMill for 3 years or something, and nobody's made a fix. If you like coding in Node.js, then maybe you can make a patch for it, but I'm not going to. Come on. So at that point, when you have everything loaded up, there's a slide missing somewhere. So what I do, because you can't access all the tabs, you can edit these files in any external editor. And whenever you press save, then Tilemill will automatically notice that the file has changed and refresh the map for you. That's how we get around this limitation. You can view Tilemill in full screen as well, where it just shows you the map. And that's really useful when you're using an external editor to change any of these files that don't appear on this list. That should be enough where you're in the position to start creating your own map style using our work as a basis. You can, of course, create map styles from scratch. There's nothing that says it has to be based on OpenStreetMap Carta, but it's a lot of hard work. So it's often a good thing to start with OpenStreetMap Carta and then design your own maps from there. It's very easy, for example, if you want to make some kind of funky map just showing all the buildings, you can just turn off all the layers that you don't want. I've left the water layers on, but and the buildings layer and removed everything else. You can then either take screenshots of these, make PDFs from them, all this functionality is built into Tilemill. So it's a good place to start making your own custom maps. I think one of the biggest spin-off projects of OpenStreetMap Carta is Christian's OSMFR Carta CSS, which is a French-focused style sheet. It takes the OpenStreetMap Carta style sheets, makes various changes to them. I think the low-zoom ones are noticeably better. And again, there's a thing missing. But there's also high-zoom, like adding specific icons and changing the way things are shown. A lot of work has gone into making zoom level 19, zoom level 20 roads look much better, for example. And it's really nice to see that people can take our map styles and make them look different to the main OpenStreetMap style sheets. It's something like when I started the OpenStreetMap Carta project, it was for two reasons. One was to make it easier to contribute to the main OpenStreetMap layer, but a lot of what we've done has been with the mind that people should be able to take these style sheets and make other map styles from them. We want to promote the creation of lots of map styles, not just one default one. However, lots of people here will be interested in changing the map as appears on openstreetmap.org. And this is something I really like to hear people's feedback on, and I really like to see people contributing to the style. As I mentioned earlier, we have lists of issues. People are very welcome to come on and create issues. Even better if you can create a pull request which implements your idea, whether it's adding new things, taking things away, changing the colors. This is a list of pull requests that we have open at the moment. We have a team of people who can review them for you and help you create the pull requests and fix any problems with your pull requests. There's lots of people around who will help out doing it. If you've never created a pull request for a GitHub project, we follow a standard procedure within our project, which is well documented by GitHub themselves. Here's a URL. I'm sorry, the URLs are appearing on the gap in between the screens. But there is a nice guide online that explains what you need to do in order to make the changes locally on your laptop, and then from that point, how to request us to merge them into the main style. I would say a word of caution, though. We don't want to just be dealing with adding lots more icons to the map. If you can avoid, I mean, these are some of the icons we use already, and a few others, admittedly. But we're interested in trying to improve the map, and by improve, I mean make it look better, but also make it easier to work with. Adding new features is not one of our top two priorities. Certainly, adding new icons isn't. Instead, I would like people to look at the map style and think of other things that can be done. The last conference I stood up at, the admin boundary names were just written along the top of the admin boundaries in black text. So one of the changes I made was to make the text the same color as the admin boundaries, but also to offset the text from the admin boundaries so that you can see the London Borough of Hammersmith and Fulham is the one to the north of the line, the borough of Wandsworth is to the south of the line. This is what I mean by looking at our current style in detail and trying to think of ways of improving the map style without necessarily just adding more features. Another one of them was changing marinas, which were like blue dashes around the outside of a marina. It looked very much like cycle paths or ferry routes or all the other things that we have blue dashes for. But instead I changed it so that it has a kind of translucent outline, but also there's a gradient on the outline so that if you just see part of a marina, you can tell which side is inside the marina, which side is outside of the marina. There's loads more things that we could do like this to improve the style sheet. Improving the way that national parks are shown would be an obvious example. But I would like everybody to have fun with editing the style sheets. I find it very enjoyable to have this ability to change the map styles on my own laptop, even working offline on the train and messing around with new ideas. I'd really encourage everybody to try it out. Installing the software can be a bit of a pain, but it's definitely worth it. So thanks for your attention. I would like to open the floor now to people asking questions about the project, and I'll be happy to go and explain further. Does anyone have any questions?
Go ahead. Can you go into detail about how you handle the style for different zoom levels?
Okay, the question is how can we go in deep? Yeah, sure. Can I go into detail about how we handle the style for different zoom levels? So let's jump out of this. Within the style rules here, so I pick one. Can people read this on the screen, or should I try making it bigger than it is? There's a request for making it a bit bigger, so I'll try to. I'll see if I can change this. Okay, so we're looking at this text on the right-hand side here. We have all of our different layers have got names attached to them. You can see them in the dialogue. We use the same name with the hash or pound symbol to describe each layer. So this set of rules is describing the water areas layer. Within that, we can filter by the feature that we're intending to style. So this would be glaciers. And then within each feature, we have the zoom levels that we want them to appear. So for example, this says zoom greater than or equal to 6. At zoom level 0 through 5, nothing will be shown. At zoom level 6, we draw a dashed line of width 1.5 in this particular color around it. And then from zoom level 8 onwards, we change the polygon pattern file. There's a glacier 1 and a glacier 2, so the image changes. These work like cascading style sheets if you've ever tried designing a web page. So you can apply rules generally and then in specific circumstances apply extra rules. So this on zoom level 8 is nested within the zoom level 6. So that means although we change the glacier's image, we keep these existing definitions because they apply to anything greater than zoom level 6. My recommendation when making these style sheets, you have options as to how to describe the zoom levels. You can say zoom level equals 6 or zoom level is less than or equal to 15. I always recommend saying greater than or equal to a particular number. If there's any reason to restrict how many zoom levels, to say less than zoom level 17. This just keeps consistency over a large project, but in your own projects, feel free to do whatever you like. Does that answer your question? Great. Yes, hi.
Is it possible to design with Tamil and Cactus CSS a map similar to Treasure Map or Pirates Map?
Yeah, so the question is it possible with Tilemill and Cactus CSS to design maps similar to a treasure map or a pirate map? Yes, it is, and it's been done before. One of the map box examples on their kind of like slideshow.
The style sheet is closer. source.
Yeah. So the style sheet for that one is closed source. So it proves it's possible, but everything is an implementation detail. There's a few tricks that are available for doing these kind of maps. And in fact, I showed one 2 days ago at the end of my previous presentation with like a kind of sketch look effect to the map where the roads look like they've been hand sketched in. This is a little trick that you can do. There's a line smoothing parameter with values between 0 and 1. It takes an angular line and smooths it out. But if you provide values greater than 1, it goes nuts and starts drawing lots of little squiggles everywhere. And that's a good kind of effect to make it look like it's handmade. Beyond that, you need to find a nice font. The text has got a lot of impact on how the map looks. So, a nice cursive font. You can use your own fonts within Tilemill, and Mapnik will use them. And then the kind of background effects for the water and for the land. We expect paper maps to have a certain texture to them. And so it really makes your map look different if you can either find these kind of textures or use them. You can use them as like these polygon pattern files to introduce textures to the map. So it's possible. It's a lot of work. I don't know if anybody knows of any open source examples of that style of map. I'm guessing no from the audience. Sorry? Yeah, I say sketch as in pencil, with all these extra kind of effects to make it look like an old map rather than a modern, crisp map.
There is one from Machina Corpus where it looks like it's hand-drawn.
Yeah.
And I think it's open.
Okay, Christian thinks that there's a hand-drawn style that might be open. I'm sure he'll tweet about it later on if he finds more details on it. Okay.
Actually, the map used on Mapbox site is available. There's no license, but you can download a bit HAF and pirate.
Ah, fantastic! Well, there you go. The map used on the Mapbox display is available on GitHub as AJ Ashton Pirate Map. AJ Ashton is one of their cartography team. So I'm sure if you Google for that, you can get some of these ideas as to how to make a map that looks like a pirate map. Serge?
So one of the previous issues I've had was trying to get direction, and there was no support in Cardo for that. But there wasn't. This is before the Open Map Cardo project. So because I was trying to put like sidewalks or bike lanes on the lane that, on the direction that they were in. Is that
yes.
Something that around.
So the question from Serge was how to draw features like sidewalks or lane information that appears on one side of the road or the other. And when he tried it previously, there was no support. Nowadays, there is support. It depends on the version of Mapnik that you're using. Mapnik, since version, I believe, 2.2 or 2.1. So not the latest releases, but still reasonably recent. They have an ability called line offset, which is to draw the line offset from its true geographic position. I don't think... Oh, we're using it for the text on the footpaths. Yeah, the boundaries, I think, are done just slightly differently because it's polygon offsets, but for the line offsets, the footpath down at the bottom has got the text offset. You just pick how many pixels you want. But you can do this with lines as well, so now you can draw parallel lines. Importantly, you can draw parallel lines like casing without having to specify a fill over the top to try and cover up the bodges before. So that works, and it works well. So the question is, has anybody produced an Ordnance Survey 1 to 25,000 scale map or similar to that? So the Ordnance Survey are the United Kingdom National Mapping Office, and they have a couple of very distinct styles on the 1 to 50,000 and 1 to 25,000 scales. I believe that people have attempted to do these maps using Tilemill and Carta CSS, but generally not using the OpenStreetMap data, using the OS Open data. The first person I would talk to about that would be Richard Fairhurst. He uses all this stuff as well, and is good at that kind of cartography. I've made a very basic implementation of one of those, but it was just for a very small area, so it only had like 20 features instead of the 200 that show up. There's also questions about copyright infringement on other people's map styles as well.
It's not just copyright. I think they've got where the style of the style itself.
Yes, yeah, so... So the comment is it's not just copyright, but also the protecting the style. Yes, when I say it's protected by copyright, I mean the design of the style is a creative work in itself, and so can be copyrighted independently of any data used to produce that style. Any questions?
Are there some special features in the style to localize the style to make it usable?
Okay, the question is there any features within the style that can help with localizing the style to different regions such as Asia? At the moment, no, there are no regional features. We do try and support text as much as possible in as many font, in as many languages as possible. So now our font set is about 15 different fonts that have been picked for their support for different regions. But there's no other changes depending on what region you are. So there's no adjustments to, for example, which zoom level do minor roads appear in order to improve the maps in Russia compared to Western Europe. Things like that would be what I would be very interested in looking into, because across both the world and also the latitudes within the world, there's such a difference in data density within OpenStreetMap that it becomes quite hard to develop a style that looks reasonable wherever you are in the world. The difference in scale between zoom level 15 on the equator and zoom level 15 in northern Norway is huge. So the maps tend to they look best around Western Europe levels of information and kind of somewhere between Germany and Denmark in terms of latitude. And it's not perfect outside of that. What has been suggested in the past is to, especially with the road colouring, to change the road colouring and the way the references are shown, depending on what part of the world you're in. The Americans in the audience, I'm sure, will notice that we don't use any highway shields, and these are apparently a big deal in America. Other people have done this kind of thing, so the MapQuest open styles were always designed as three different styles, one UK-specific with UK road colours like blue motorways, one for the US with all the shields and appropriate colouring there, and one for the rest of the world, generally based on a kind of red to yellow to orange road hierarchy, which is familiar around Europe. But we've never really had the software, either TileMill or with ModTile, to support three map style sheets easily, doing different parts of the world and minimizing the glitches in between them. So that's still an open project for us to solve.
Christian? For this, I even think it depends on not where you are looking the map at, but who is looking the map.
Yeah, so Christian's point is it depends not only on which part of the world you're looking at, but also who is the person doing the looking. Christian has told me before about his experience of customizing the public transport networks around France to use the icons from the local authority, the local public transport authority. And unfortunately, that means when you go to a different city, if you don't already recognize the transport authority's icons, then you don't recognize what is a tram stop and what is a train station. So we have this problem with them trying to produce these regional specific maps, is all of a sudden you can be looking at a different country and you don't understand what the colours represent and what the features represent, because you're used to what it looks like in, say, Germany or in the UK. So in some respects, when we're making a global map, we just pick our own colours, and that way nobody knows what anything means and we're all on an even playing field. Okay, I'm going to jump in and say I have a question for you. I would be very interested to know how many people have attempted to install TileMill at some point in the past. Wow, that's cool. That's about 80% of the people in the audience. And of how many people feel that they managed to get it installed and working properly? Oh, it's still high. It's more than half, but not everybody who put their hands up the first time. How many people have got as far as getting the OpenStreetMap Carto style sheets installed and working? That's much less. That's like 10 people. And how many people have made a pull request? It's like 2. All right. How many people want to make a pull request? All right, you guys, I'm here all day. Like, I'm more than happy to help you with that. All right, does anybody else have any more questions? Christian.
If we create a derivated style from the OSM style, it's some kind of a fork that is not designed to come back in the main track.
Yeah.
But you, at your place, you could do some cherry picking of new features done in one of the four because it's interesting.
Yep. So Christian's question is around when you make your own custom style, as he has done for the French map style, it's kind of like a fork of the project. He makes changes that he doesn't intend to come back to the main style sheet. So it's not just making pull requests. And then whether we in the central project can cherry pick certain changes and improvements that he's made that are as appropriate to combine back in. And yes, I would love to do this and to do it more often. I'm totally still, even though it's been a year since I last mentioned it, going to steal the Christian's sports field rendering because I think that's the best thing. So that's gonna come back in. One of the problems is trying to maintain separate map styles. I didn't have an image. These definitions are quite complicated, and if you work on your own project for 6 months, you find that we've changed so many things in our project and you've changed so many things in yours that it can be hard to merge the changes back in. We're trying to extract some of the most likely things to change into their own little lines at the top. So for instance, we have a color definition here for water text. We have this not only because it appears 3 or 4 times, but also because if all you want to change is the color, you should be able to do that in a way that makes it easy for us to share the rest of the changes back and forward. This is another aspect. It's quite a complicated aspect, so it tends to be done by our few core contributors, but we do try and change these style sheets to make it easy to run your own version and keep up with all the changes that we make to the standard style. Sean?
Possibly one thing to point to make, I don't know if you've mentioned it in the presentation, is the documentation available for...
Sean makes a very good point. I should have been describing earlier. Within TileMill, there's various sources of documentation that will help you learn how it works. On the left-hand side near the top, there's a manual which gives a high-level introduction to how TileMill works, what features are available, what happens when you press the different buttons. And that's good when you're getting started. The other piece of documentation is hidden behind the cryptic curly brackets icon, which is a list of all of these symbolizer properties, which ones are available, what the default numbers are. So for example, if you don't know what the default width of a line is, it's in the line section. It will say line width default 1. If you want to explore more about the line offsets that Serge asked about earlier on, you just have a scroll down through here until you find line-offset takes a floating point number, offsets a line, a number of pixels parallel to its actual path. So I use this continuously because even when I know what I want to do, I don't know what the name of the attribute is. And so I'm frequently opening this up to click around and find what's available. Thanks, Sean. It's a good point. Anymore. Yes?
There are rumors that the style created by Carto is not always efficient performance-wise. So are there some specific ways of writing the style we should really avoid?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the question is, there are rumors that style sheets created with Carto do not necessarily perform as well as those hand-created in the XML. I would say that the style sheets produced by Carto perform exactly the same as the ones created by XML, unless you hit one of the corner cases in writing Carto style sheets, in which case it very quickly disintegrates and is so unusably slow that you'll notice it fairly quickly. So apart from that, they will perform within 2 or 3%, mainly because the limiting factors are the SQL queries, much more so than any of the calculations of what style to create. One of these corner cases, unfortunately, is something that we are quite used to in OpenStreetMap. And that is tricky to explain, but I'll explain it anyway. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, don't worry about it too much. Normally, when you add a spreadsheet, a shape file, there will be a single column within the shape file called type or something similar to that. And you expect every feature within that shape file to just have one value for the type column. That's an expectation that Carto has as well when it's building its rules. Oh, we don't have it in that one. But it's an expectation that's common with shapefiles. And you'll find even like the GeoFabric shapefiles for roads have got a type column. However, in OpenStreetMap, we don't necessarily just have one key which indicates the type. So if we're looking at all the roads and railways and things interleaved with one another, then we end up with two or three keys. It would be highway and railway and aeroway. In that situation, if you start writing rules with highway equals residential and a rule beside it saying railway equals rail, Carto can't tell that these should be two independent objects and starts to consider, well, what happens if it is both highway equals residential and railway equals rail? What should I do in that circumstance? What should I do when it's highway, residential, railway, light rail, aeroway, runway? And build a rule for that. And this is a combinatorial problem when you have multiple keys and are trying to write these styles. So what we do within this project, and you'll see it fairly easily, is we use the SQL queries to coalesce these into one feature attribute. So we see on the roads file, that we say feature equals highway underscore residential. And that gets around that particular problem. If you want a different explanation and as equally impenetrable explanation, I've tried to explain this in talks before. It's complicated, but we have a way around it. For the general case though, any performance, here we go, like feature equals highway underscore primary underscore link. So we as OpenStreetMap contributors will recognize it, but we just specify it in a slightly different way to work around this problem. In the general case, the performance issues are completely mitigated by the fact that you yourself will spend 100% less time writing the style sheets, and nobody ever wants to go back and match up the angle brackets in the XML style sheets. Okay.
My current style sheet is 60,000 lines.
Okay. Christian says his current style sheets are 60,000 lines. Is that of XML or of Carto CSS?
XML.
Of XML. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so 60,000 lines of XML. I've made style sheets in the past. It's possible to make, I think it's a 20-line Carto CSS style sheet, which explodes to 2 million lines of XML, but you need to be trying to make that happen. Does anybody have any aspects of the project or the way that we use these style sheets within OpenStreetMap.org that I haven't covered and that they would like more information on?
Yeah, well, one question related to the orientation of roads and more. If you have an area without big cities, then you zoom and zoom and zoom, and there's nothing to find. And otherwise, where you have many big cities, then I only often shown only the smaller cities and the capitals of the areas you will not find. So it's a bad orientation. Is there a plan to improve that?
Yep, so the question is about using the map to orientate yourself in different parts of the world, using the city and place name labels. In some areas, when you zoom in, there aren't any major cities, and so you end up with no text labels on the screen at all, and it's hard to orientate yourself. The question is whether there are any plans to improve this. Yes, there are plans to improve this. We need help with this kind of thing. That's exactly what I mean by I would like to improve what we have already. Christian has done a lot of good work, and he's making sure I'm going to refer to it. Christian has done a lot of good work on the French OpenStreetMap style sheets by drawing what we have already and then using all the place name labels as a kind of final layer to sprinkle a few more in the gaps between everything that we have already. That's a really effective way of doing it, and I'll be, I or one of the other contributors, or if somebody sitting in this room, I would very much appreciate if people would make the pull request proposal to implement a similar thing on the main style. Okay.
So not related exactly to style, but more to the infrastructure.
Sure.
Which version of Mapnik are we currently using? Is Halfbus already integrated?
So the question is, on the infrastructure used by the OpenStreetMap Foundation, what version of Mapnik are we running, and is Halfbus already installed? Tom is the sysadmin here and said no. I know that we don't have Halfbus. Yeah, so it's the packaged release of Mapnik 2.2 point. I don't think they've ever done a point release of the 2.2 series. So it'll be 2.2.0. We're within our project, we're waiting on more Mapnik releases. I've always held the principle that I would like to only use released versions of the code so that as many people in this room as possible and all the other contributors don't have to compile Mapnik from source or, you know, things like that. So I'm really keen and hoping that the Mapnik developers do more frequent releases with these features combined within them. Yeah, Halfbus especially, as a developer of the style sheet, but also as a member of the operations working group, I would love for us to be able to provide better text support for all the communities around the world. And the only thing stopping us is my desire to wait until there's a released version so that it will make it harder for more contributors to help.
And 2.3 also brings multi-threading in database queries, so it's interesting on the performance side.
So Christian's point is that Mapnik 2.3, which I think is also still to be released, brings multi-threading on the database queries, so it provides a performance boost there, which especially on local laptops will be an interesting thing to see. But yeah, find your nearest Mapnik developer and buy them a beer and to encourage them to make more releases. No, I think that's it. We don't seem to have any more questions. Like I said earlier, I'm here all day. I'm very keen to help anybody with any technical problems that they have, either installing TileMill or getting OSMTP GSQL working. This is also a great opportunity to talk to other people who know this kind of stuff. People like Tom, who's one of the OpenStreetMap sysadmins, knows all this stuff inside out as well. We have people from a wide variety of platforms who know how to get this stuff working on Windows or who are Mac OS experts. So, like, ask around. There are people here today who can help you with any of this stuff. I'd like to thank everyone for coming. Thanks very much.